At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hi, and welcome to my podcast, I Shouldn't Say This, But. My name is Katie Leeson, and I'm Managing Director of Social Chain UK, and I am so excited for you to hear this episode. This week, I am joined by the very lovely Kira and Amy from Feel Good Club. Feel Good Club, if you don't know of it, is a wonderful mental health and wellbeing community that has recently opened a cafe based in the Northern Quarter in Manchester. Feel Good Club opened its doors for the first time in October, right in the midst of the pandemic. But despite rules changing almost daily, both Kira and Amy have been doing their absolute best to make sure that Feel Good Club still sets out to accomplish its mission. So in this episode, you are going to get a real sense of how important it is to have authenticity behind a brand when you launch a company. Feel Good Club is so important to me because I feel like I've been on the journey with them. I've known Kira through working at Social Chain, and the brand is just incredible. I can see as a bystander how many people Feel Good Club is helping, and you need to hear the story about why it was started to know why it is so, so special. So without further ado, sit back, relax and enjoy this episode of I Shouldn't Say This, But. Welcome to the podcast, ladies.
Thank you for having us.
Super excited.
I'm so excited because I've also not seen you in so long. So this is like such a treat.
I know, it's been forever. It's been so, so long.
I know. I came in recently though, didn't I, and helped you deliver coffees. I was like...
You did indeed. A little flying visit. And
perfect timing for it.
Waiting staff. So I'm going to start the podcast with a few icebreakers and then I'm going to go into some questions. What is the most underrated song that everybody should listen to?
We all know mine.
It's going to be different for both of us, I think. Amy, what's yours?
Well, I've got a couple, but if I was going to pick one, it would be The Greatest Showman.
Oh, I'm so sick of hearing this song. What song is the one?
Come Alive. So, and I'm going to tell you why, because for me, it sounds absolutely ridiculous as a 32-year-old about to be. But when I was leaving my full-time job, I put that song on and I was just like, I'm about to come alive because I'm leaving my full-time job, my dead-end 9-to-5 to start something that I absolutely love. So I'm just going to sing it. And every time I put it on now, it reminds me of that feeling that I got when I left my full-time job.
Oh. Even I didn't know that. And I actually forgive you for all the times you've made me listen to it now.
Now you know there's a meaning behind it.
And I think mine, purely because I just love it and it's my karaoke song, is ABBA, Mamma Mia, because I think ABBA are so underrated and I love them. And Mamma Mia is such a great song.
You know I disagree with you on ABBA. What is the worst gift you've ever received?
Oh,
so
I know what yours is going to be.
Kira, once, I was like, you know what, Kira, I absolutely love you, but you're not very, like, thoughtful. I was like, this Christmas, I want you to be really, really thoughtful. Like, actually think about the gifts that you're getting there. So I opened an envelope and Kira got suckered into buying me a patch of land on Mars.
An acre of land on Mars, right? And this was the Christmas after Amy and I got engaged. And I thought, do you know what? She does always say that I'm not as thoughtful as her. And I think it was Black Friday. And I just...
So you've got a bargain piece of land.
And I spent 20 quid on this piece of land. Didn't really read the terms and conditions. Thought it was a real thing. Got the print out through, and it was like someone had been on Paint, Microsoft Paint, and just written this little certificate of Mars. And yeah, it was. I basically flushed 20 quid down the toilet for that. Didn't go down that well, my romance.
I don't think you've ever had a bad gift. I am incredible.
I don't actually think I've had a bad gift. I can only think of the terrible gifts that I've given.
What is the one thing you look forward to doing when you wake up in the morning?
My favourite thing in the morning is just getting up alone. Sorry, Amy. Having some me time, making a coffee, sitting down and just My favourite time is in the summer when the birds are singing, and I just love sitting, having a coffee, listening to the birds, watching the sun come up. And that's what I look forward to in the mornings. I like that little bit of me time that is the only time in the day that I kind of create for myself.
You are very much a morning person, I'm like, I'll get up 5 minutes before we have to. Stroke Juno for 10 minutes of that and then be late because I'm stroking Juno and then run around being stressed out because I'm like, oh my God, I've played with Juno for 10 minutes and now I'm late. That's basically me.
And for anyone listening, Juno's the dog.
Juno is the dog.
And if you go on Instagram and look at Juno, you'd understand why I'm late.
Yeah, you would.
She's the cutest little thing in the world. And the final little icebreaker, not that we need icebreakers. If you could time travel to your past and give yourself one piece of advice, what age would you go to and what would you tell yourself?
It'd probably be 18 when I was figuring out if I wanted to go to uni or not. And then I ended up doing like an extra year at college. I did childcare for 2 years because I thought I wanted to be a teacher. And then I realised that I didn't want to be. And then I was like, oh, I don't really know what to do now. So I'll go to college for another year and do media because I like films. And then I ended up doing a 4-year degree in film production, which I've never, ever used. But found my wife, so it was still good.
It's definitely worth it.
But if I could go back to 18, I would actually like sit down and be like, don't put so much pressure on like education. Like I thought if I didn't get like a college or I didn't get a degree, like I'm going to end up being nothing. And even though I loved it and I would never change my experience at uni, I just think I was putting so much pressure on myself to like, I have to go and do this because if I don't, I won't get a job or I won't get something. My life will be like something that I don't want it to be, where actually everything that we're doing now has got nothing to do with anything that has to do with uni or college. It was just something that I was passionate about. So I'd go back to 18 and tell myself, just focus on what you're actually passionate about.
But I also think that those years where you don't really know what you're doing, and I don't think anyone really does get to the point where they know this is exactly what I want to do and this is what I'm doing. I think those years at uni, even though neither of us, and I don't know many people who have actually used their degree in what they're doing now, I think that was such an important time for actually setting ourselves up for where we are now, because the people that we met and we met each other and kind of what we experienced, and we'll probably go into it a little bit later on, but you started a clothing brand, didn't you, whilst at uni, which taught you so much, which has fed into what we do now with Feel Good Club, that even though looking back you think, oh well, I've never used that, or it wasn't really what I wanted to do at the time, I think all those small experiences just set you up for life. So I think it's kind of just rolling with it, isn't
it?
It's
a very expensive experience, all right?
I want to move on to Feel Good Club. So what is Feel Good Club for anyone who's not come across you, but I'm sure you have because you've just grown massively, but for anyone listening that doesn't know what Feel Good Club is, can you explain it?
It's actually so many things, mm-hmm. and it can be so many different things to different people, but it initially started about 6 or 7 years ago when I was suffering with an eating disorder. So I developed an eating disorder whilst I was at university and opted not to go down the therapy or medical route, and decided that I was going to start working on my own mindset and figuring it out for myself. So about 2 years into that kind of recovery process, I started Feel Good Club, and Amy and I were living in a tiny little studio apartment, weren't we? And I decided that I was going to start making candles because I needed something that kind of was quite therapeutic for me. And I found just by chance that making candles was a really therapeutic process. And it was almost kind of like meditative. So I started an Instagram page alongside the candles that I was making. And yes, Amy is laughing because the kind
terrible.
Of the messaging that I was putting on there and the quotes and stuff were extremely cheesy, but they were things that were kind of helping me process what it was that was happening to me and that kind of journey of recovery. That was a very early idea of Feel Good Club, and then it got a little bit too much in there. We only had one hob ring in our apartment, and making candles and then trying to make dinner, and on top there was a lot of wax all over the pasta and mistaking it for Parmesan and all these sorts of things. So decided that I was going to stop doing it. And
you consumed a lot of wax, basically.
Yeah, consumed a lot of wax, and we decided that probably wasn't the right time. So I applied for a job at Soch Chain, which was head of happiness, and had a very wonderful 5 years at Soch Chain, been head of happiness. And then we'd always said, didn't we, that we wanted, there was something in Feel Good Club, there was something in kind of helping other people. And I don't actually think at the time when I started it that I was in a position to kind of help anyone anyway, because I was so in it myself. But it was always there in the back of our minds, wasn't it? 6 years later, we decided to start it back up. So it started again as an Instagram page where we were sharing things that were helping us with our own well-being, our own mental health. And the aim has always and always will be to just normalize the conversation around mental health and feelings in general. Like you don't need to have a mental illness to have a really bad day or a bad week or a bad month and feel really terrible. And we just want to normalize that conversation, because I think if I was going back, and this relates to kind of the icebreaker question, if I was going back to me at kind of 19 when I was first suffering, if people just spoke about it, if it was normal to talk about it and there was lots of different people speaking about it, then I wouldn't have felt so alone, and it probably wouldn't have taken me 10 years to get to the position where I feel okay and that I've processed everything that kind of happened.
It's a hard question when somebody asks, what is Feel Good Club? Because like you said, it's so many different things. But to us, like, to make it plain and simple, it's a community page where we're just trying to help people become the best versions of themselves, including ourselves. Mm-hmm. So like now we've got the physical space, it's all to do with like workshops, events, and talking about mental health, talking about feelings, like talk about our bad days. So then when you see all these different comments now, like some of our comments get like 200 comments of people, like strangers talking to each other on this post about, oh, I feel like that too. And if one person can see somebody else feeling like that, it's like, oh, it's not just me. I'm not, you know, I'm not different. Somebody else feels like that as well. So it's just kind of, that's kind of what it is mm-hmm. to us.
And then, like Amy said, we opened the physical space. So the first thing that we did was we started making clothing just with our brand name on it. And the idea behind the clothing, we started making it in our spare bedroom, didn't we? Learned to screen print and sew, which unfortunately it's gone so big now, which is incredible that we can't do that anymore. So Amy's mom actually helps with the sewing now, which is great. but the message behind the clothing was that if you're wearing Feel Good Club, it's a reminder to you that it's okay however you're feeling that day. And even better, and we've heard stories of this happening now, that people see each other in the street wearing Feel Good Club, and it's actually sparked conversations between two people that have shared values or just understand that they might be suffering something or they might be struggling with something. So then during the pandemic in October, we opened our coffee shop.
2 weeks.
Yeah, we were open for 2 weeks. And the idea behind that space, again, is just creating a space where people feel comfortable, where talking is normalized. All of our team are mental health first aid trained, which I just believe everyone who's in a public facing position should have anyway, just like people have first aid training, you should have mental health first aid training as well. And there's a lot more that we want to do with that space, isn't there? But obviously, pandemic, we can't really have people gathering together. We're open as takeaway right now, and we've been open to takeaway longer than we were actually able to open. But the feedback that we've had from that, and people coming in to get a bit of normality and getting their coffee and having a chat with me or Amy or the team that work with us has been incredible, hasn't it?
It's been mental.
It must be like a pinch me moment every day.
It's bizarre because it still
hasn't sunk in.
It definitely hasn't sunk in. And to me, it still feels like my diary. Like that's part of my process when I get up in the morning and I have that alone time. Everything that we post on there, so we don't schedule any of the posts. We don't pre-make them. They're all made at kind of 6 a.m. when I wake up, have my coffee and kind of think, how am I feeling today? And then I just write something and I put it out. And to see people, you know, it's amazing to see people talking together about they're both feeling that. But for me to see that as well, and for Amy to see that, like, oh, well, this is how I felt this morning and someone else feels that way.
It's like a domino effect.
Yeah.
You know, like you feel a certain way, so then you put it out there. And then all these other people are going, oh my God, thank you for this. Like, I need to hear this because I feel like that. And then it's like one big domino effect where everybody then feels good because it's like, oh, I'm not, especially right now during lockdown, everyone's so isolated and so alone, where it just shows people that like your feelings everyone's feeling like a certain way at this moment.
It started from such an authentic place, and that authenticity runs through everything now as well. It's like nothing's forced, everything's down to creating community connections on a universal feeling and helping people feel better. I've seen ladies in the street and I'm like, they was, had a hat on and I wanted to jump on and be like, they're my friends.
I think because it's so authentic, because we don't know what we're doing. We didn't know about how to make clothing and we managed to do it. We've never paid for an ad. We don't know about website design. We just made our own website. We have no idea about, before obviously you started at social, but before that we had no idea about social media. Like Instagram to me was just something that I put a picture of my nana up every now and again and put a happy birthday on. Happy birthday, Nan. Well, like now it's like we've got a whole business on that. And then like now, before we opened the coffee shop, we had no idea about coffee.
No idea about hospitality.
Never worked in hospitality, never made a coffee in my life. And then here we are. Everyone's like, oh my God, you got that really good coffee. Your coffee's like one of the best in Manchester. And we're like, we've got no idea what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what it is. It's just like we're on this journey with the followers. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why it works so well. Because, you know, it's not like looking up to us or anything. Like we're on that exact same journey. Mm-hmm. And I think it just shows people that like you don't have to know everything. Just give it a go. And if you're passionate about it, then you can achieve whatever you want.
And that's the thing. We only do things because they make us feel good, and that coincidentally makes other people feel good as well. So I think that's why it is authentic. Like it's not like we sit here and go, right, how can we get people to follow, or how can we get people to share or do this? Like the place that this whole brand has come from is our own struggles and getting out of them. So the brand has kind of grown with that journey. So, and that's what it will always be. It will always be, okay, well, is this going to help people? Would it help us? And that's what we'll make our decisions on.
Mm-hmm. Kira, we talked about your career and like where you've got to and working at Social Chain, but Amy, you don't talk a lot about what you did before. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to put the floor onto you and talk about where your career journey took you and why Feel Good Club was the right thing for you to start with Kira after she started it as her mental health support system.
So I never really knew what I wanted to be. I flitted all the time. Like I've literally probably done every college course you could probably think of, because I never actually knew what I wanted to do. And obviously I've always had the gift of the gab, if I do say so myself. So I've always like been in sales. I worked at Selfridges. When I was at uni in my final year, I started a clothing brand called Why Not. And it was like streetwear, because back then I was into streetwear. And I like took it to festivals. We won one of the videos that we created was on Sky Arts for like a whole year. And it was amazing. Like it was absolutely amazing. But eventually I didn't love streetwear anymore. So I fell out of it.
But
so,
if you think about the messaging of Why Not, it was the Yoga Club, yeah, it is quite similar. Like Why Not was like about going after your dreams and questioning like what's stopping me from doing this, like why not do it? And that, so really the messaging,
yeah,
is quite,
and I always loved it. I just knew it wasn't right, so I just kind of like left it, went to do a 9-to-5 job, and then I just chased holidays, chased getting a house, chased getting engaged, getting the wedding, get the lovely honeymoon. And then after all that, I was kind of like, I'm not happy in my day to day. Like I'm just not happy. So me and Kira actually, she came out from Social Chain once, didn't you? And I was like, come on, we're going for a drink. And I sat there and I was like, right, listen, I'm not happy. I was like, I'm just chasing all the time. So I said, I want to go traveling for a year. Like, will you come with me, please? And she was like, you need to have your own business. So why don't you pick Feel Good Club back up? And within a year, if it doesn't work, then I promise you, then I'll do something that you want to do and we'll go traveling. So I was like, right, okay then. So we like said, like, in a year, we need to make this amount of money for Feel Good Club and have this many followers and blah, 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 and achieve this, this, and this. And luckily, we did achieve it. And we never did go traveling. And I absolutely just fell into love with it. Like, I've never been into self-care, never ever, like, you know, took myself away and had a bath or meditated or yoga or anything. I've
never had a bath.
No, a bath was just to have a rest. Never, you know what I mean? It was never like a mindful bath, you know. I just, something that I was never into at all. And then when we started Feel Good Club, I just got so wrapped in it and absolutely fell in love with it. And then I was like, do you know what? I think I'm just going to take the risk, get out of my comfort zone and just jump in it. So I quit my full-time job. actually seeing Kira and how much she loved Social Chain. Like every single day she'd be gearing to get to work. She loved it. She loved everything that she was doing. She loved what it was about. She loved like helping people. And I saw myself in what Kira was doing, but obviously didn't want to do it for somebody like another company. I wanted to do it for like our business. So yeah, I think Social Chain and what I saw Kira have definitely helped me give that extra push.
You wanted that, didn't you? You wanted to be passionate about something that you were doing. Like when we'd go away and meet new people, the conversation, obviously, it'd always be like, oh, Head of Happiness, let's talk about that for 2 hours. Mm. What is that? But because I was so passionate about that and what I did, it was kind of like, it became really apparent to you, didn't it? That like you want to love something that you're getting up every mm-hmm. single day to do, and you want to enjoy it.
Ever since then, I can actually remember the day it was. I remember just loving that feeling of being like, oh my God, I've actually stepped out. I'm scared. I'm petrified. I've got no idea what I'm doing. And I've literally been chasing that ever since I've done it. Now I'm like, I can't wait to like start. Like every day with Film Club, I'm like, what can we do? That's like that adrenaline rush of like, I'm alive and I'm doing something. I have no idea what I'm doing, but we're doing it.
So you've both got your roles. So when you started it, did you decide, right, I'm going to be responsible for X, Y, Z, and I'm going to be responsible for A, B, C? Do you split it like that, or do you just share?
My role at first was obviously just network, get that name out there, and I literally met every single person in Manchester, didn't I? So that was like always my role.
Amy and I have been together for like 11 years, so we know each other inside out. We know every little thing about each other, and we like pick up on each other's little cues. So I think although we don't have entirely separate roles within the business, we know each other's strengths. So and if we're in a situation where it's like, okay, we just automatically, it's like we don't have to say it, it's like, oh well, that's obviously what you do, so Amy will go and look after that, and I'll go and look after something else. So I tend to look after the social media side of things.
You
tend
more like operations, accounts,
the numbers, all of that. You know, we've spoken about my maths earlier on, and I'm terrible, so don't ever let me near anything that's number related.
Now it's so many different parts, so like that's kind of like thinking back in the day, where now me and Kira are also now learning how to be someone else's manager, which I've never done. So now it's like we're managers, we're hospitality, we're, you know, a coffee shop owner.
We're like product as well. We've got the clothing.
We both play a different part with the team. So like we both manage in different ways. It's just like adapting all the time, really, isn't it?
Yeah, actually? We're still figuring out that process. And it works well, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Just like we do, we said the other day that we need to actually sit down and be like, right, this is who does what. This is formalized on paper. But right now, I think just the flow of it, we both understand, and we're both still learning. You know, we're both learning about all these different angles of the business that we probably need more time figuring out what sides of that we both love and enjoy and where our strengths lie in that. Because right now, a lot of it, we're both so new to it. Kind of just like learning along the way.
So basically we've got no idea what we're doing. There's also a pandemic and we're basically just winging it until we figure out what we like doing.
Let's talk about opening the physical space, and let's talk about opening it in a pandemic. Why did you choose to do it? Why did you not pause it and wait?
As soon as somebody asked me that question, in my brain I'm like, you can't pause your feelings, you can't pause how you're feeling that day, you can't pause your mental health. Mm-hmm. So what gives us the right as a brand who's promoting this to just go, do you know what, actually guys, it's not the perfect timing, so we're not going to do it. We mm-hmm. was like, no, everybody needs us more than ever, so let's just take a stand, let's stress ourselves out, put ourselves under loads of pressure. But for us it was like the perfect moment. And it still is, even though every day now is so exhausted, and it's really, it's getting like,
it's tiring. It's more exhausting not having it full with people, because it's getting up in the morning, turning the lights on, turning the coffee machine
and
on,
standing.
And then just waiting to see if it's going to be a busy day or not. And with the weather at the moment, and obviously we're in the full lockdown, so it's like this double-edged sword, because it's like, I'm glad that it's not rammed and that people are listening, because people need to listen right now and we need to get the pandemic under control. But also we're a business and we need to survive. So it's like you're happy, but then it's like, oh well, we need to make some money. And weekends are great because there are a lot of apartments around the coffee shop. So people are getting out on the daily exercise and they are coming to get coffee. So they're good, but it's just, you can't judge it on a daily basis. It's like, you could have a great day on a Tuesday, which is really unexpected, and you could have a terrible Friday.
We were supposed to open in May, and obviously that's when it was a national lockdown. And then obviously we started doing the live stuff on our Instagram, and then we realised just how much people needed it. And we was like, you know what, let's just take the risk. I think if we would have just opened when it was all over, I think we wouldn't have felt right. And I don't think it would have had the impact that it's got now. Mm-hmm. Like during this lockdown, we've had over 100,000 more followers.
More than that. I think we started lockdown in March when we did our talk. Mm-hmm. No, we had 17,000 followers then.
Is that what it started at before lockdown?
But I don't think we would be where we're at now if we didn't open when we opened. It sounds ridiculous, but we have people come in every single day, day in, day out, going like, I look forward to this moment. Mm-hmm. Just coming, getting my coffee, seeing your faces, having a 5-minute quick chat, and then leaving is just like, that's part of my day right now. It's my mm-hmm. only routine that I've got. So if we just waited until the pandemic's over and opened, you wouldn't have got that same relationship that you've got with people now. And I think that's why the Instagram has gone crazy.
Yeah.
And like when I think about like opening, like I'm really passionate about that, because I'm like, there's nothing. And even now, and how like
I wouldn't change
how
it
exhausting
whatsoever.
And how much of a roller coaster it's been, and like even me and you as a relationship, like it has been rock bottom at times, and mm-hmm. it like personally, together, business wise, everything has been at rock bottom, and I still wouldn't change it for the world.
Yeah.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
It will be the single biggest learning experience of our lives. And like Amy said, we were never not going to open. You know, we're a business, and yeah, we've got to make money. But the whole reason that Feel Good Club started was, like we keep going back to, was suffering. And, you know, that comes first. And, you know, we might not have a great first year, but we'll get through it and we'll survive it. And each year we'll get stronger and better for it. And I'm excited for when it's all over. Business is going to feel so easy. It's going to feel so, so easy. Because we've
learned in this time, you would have learned over years.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like we just have to adapt so much. And like when the lockdown came, like as most people might know, we didn't get furlough. We've got no grants. We've had no support, no nothing from the government. So we had to part lay off at some of our team, and then me and Kira had to step forward. We didn't know how to use the coffee machine. So literally we had three members of staff, and then me and Kira. And sometimes me and Kira was the only people in the shop. Mm-hmm. And we were just like, we're just going to have to figure it out. And like now we just do it like natural. Like it's just a thing that we know now how to do. But I think if that didn't happen, we would have like stepped away from it and not tried to do it, because we're trying to run a business, trying to be managers, trying to do so many different things where...
But that's taught us the importance. And we was actually talking to one of the team members the other day, because we were having a meeting about kind of the growth of the product side of the brand, because that was never going to be something that we focused on. It was just something that we kind of knew what we were doing, but didn't really know. And it was a starting point, but it has grown so massively, especially over the last few months, that we're actually going to put a focus on that as well and start branching out into different products. But we said, you know, whoever joins this company, whatever level they join at, whether they're coming in as a director or they're coming in to work on the coffee machine, every single person will do a shift or a couple of shifts in that coffee shop, and they will know the basics of what everyone's job is. And we did that when we started. You know, we, like Amy said, we had a load of, our oven broke, we can't get furlough, we can't get these grants, we have all this crap. But we put that emphasis on when we first opened as well. Everybody got the same training, whether they were going to be in the kitchen or they were going to be on the floor. Everybody understands each other's job, because that's where you get respect for each other. Then
nice. I think a lot of businesses can learn a lot from that, because hierarchical structures can lead to a lot of resentment. So if you had just swanned in and everything, the pandemic and the changes in tiers, and you two just weren't around because you were doing business, which you would have been working hard, but for the team not to see you, the optics of it is very different, and the way that the team then feel about you as their leaders would change. So I think a lot of places can learn from that. You must have had to pivot so many times.
Pivot! Literally, I'm sick of saying that because we've done it so many.
There's never been a point where I've suffered with mental health. Like, I have a bit of anxiety, but like, mine's like, I get nervous about asking for the bill, or like, I'm a people pleaser, so I don't like putting people out of what I think they're doing. You know what I mean? Like, that's as
like
far as it goes.
Like, the bill to pay someone.
But that's me. It's like, oh my God, they might be busy already, so why am I, oh, I don't want to put them out. But anyway, that's like as far as mine goes, where about 2 months back, I was literally at rock bottom. I remember just going upstairs, looking in the mirror and just bursting out crying, and was like, I've got no idea who I am, what I'm doing. I can't think straight. I can't sleep. I can't wake up. I can't eat. I'm not hungry. I'm starving. Like, I literally was just everywhere. And just the first thing out of my mouth was just like, turn to you and just talked about it. And now I feel fine again. But it just shows, like, if you didn't have that person, and that's how I see Feel Club as a page. If somebody looks at that page and gets help from it and feels, can instantly feel okay again, then yeah, it's great. But yeah, it's been a lot.
It's been a wild journey.
Yeah, but you've had to learn business, we've had to learn hospitality, we've had to learn to be managers, we've then had to learn how to be a married couple who own a business together.
Who can go home and switch off during a pandemic.
So it has been a lot, but if we can survive this as a business and a couple, we can survive anything.
It'll be rock solid forever. I did a post a few months ago that was about burnout, and it just went bonkers, absolutely crazy. I think it had hit home. And I wanted to ask you two, as someone who is like trying to support everyone else, but you're also, as you say, trying to run a business, trying to do the coffee, trying to fix the oven and get home and like try and rest. And because like friendships and things like that are hard when you're so busy, family you don't see. How have you dealt with burnout? Because you must feel that at times.
Absolutely. Do you know what? I think it's about creating a really strong relationship, and it might sound weird, but a really strong relationship with yourself where you can take a step back. And, you know, there's times where we have absolutely gone completely against our own advice that we would give to anybody. But it's about being able to step back and have that conversation with yourself. Do I really need to do this right now? And on certain occasions with me and Amy, this is a business that we have invested over 200 grand in that we have to pay back at a certain point. You know, it's a huge commitment. And at times, and you've got people who are relying on you because they're working for you and you need to pay them. And there's all of these factors. But if you can stand back and say, do I need to do this right now? And on some occasions, the answer has been yes, because we've got to survive as a business and we've got to work our asses off to be able to do that. But then there's other times where the answer's no. Do I really need to answer those 5 emails right now? Or is this issue really worth staying up till 11, 12 o'clock at doing? Do you know what I mean? And I think it's just having that balance within yourself where, you know, we're human, we are going to get burnt out. There's going to be times in our lives where we're going to need to be burnt out because it's just the way things are. But as long as you have that strength to stand back and go at certain points, no, and identify that that's the right thing to do, then I think it's a balancing act.
And for me, I get burnt out by wanting to be in control of everything. Like, I want to be in control of those emails, control of the business, control of that. I want to know exactly what penny we've got in the bank, where every single penny's going. Where I think at the moment with the lockdown, the pandemic, and, you know, our lives being on hold through what the government tells us, our lives right now are so out of control. Like, nothing, I feel completely out of control of my life at the moment. Like, I can't just go on holiday. I can't just go and see my mum and dad. Like, the other night, we sat on when this lockdown happened. It was like 5 minutes before Boris Johnson came on the TV and I just burst out crying. And Kira was like, what's up? I was like, I hate the fact that I've got to wait to see what this man tells me what to do, what we can do with our passion and our business. And I'm just waiting for him to tell me. And I think that's why I've not been burnt out recently, because there's so much, everything's out of my control that I can only control what I can control right now. And that is like just waking up, just getting through the day, just turning the lights on at work, just making a couple of hundred quid. Do you know what I mean? Like, that to me is like, at the moment, it's the small things that you can control, which why I think it's, you're more, I'm more appreciative of like just every day now. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like just a daily thing, where I think I got burnt out last time because you want to expand and grow and be this amazing person all the time, where now it's just kind of like, I'm doing an all right job and that's all I can do right now.
I love the fact that you're so open and about that on social as well, because I think the inspiration behind the reason that I did that post was because there's so much hustle porn on social media about launching a business like you have has got to take so many hours of dedication and a lot of your time. But I don't think social media helps other people when they're launching their businesses in terms of comparison culture, that you see people work until God knows when, and you see the fact that they're putting it on their socials, that they don't sleep and they're not looking after themselves. And I think credit to you guys, because I know it's hard and I know it's been really hard, but you've been super honest about it as well on social, where many other people haven't. That's tough. That's tough for others to see. And I'd like to ask you as well, like, what would you say to other business owners that might be going through a similar thing to you right now?
We're so honest. So like when we did get furlough and we did the whole campaign about like trying to get Rishi to see the email. And I think at the moment, because so people have got so much time on their hands, everything's like magnified. You know what I mean? Like everything. So like we sit there and we go, oh, are we doing the right thing by like talking about it? Because, you know, there's other people out there that's worse than us at the moment. But we have this saying that we keep saying all the time at the moment, like, everything's relative. Mm-hmm. I would literally just say to people, like, you've just got to be honest and you have to be passionate. Like, it is exhausting, it is tiring, and some days you literally just want to close the laptop and be like, do you know what, I am going back to my 9 to 5, chasing my holidays, and I'm done with this. But then, because we're so passionate about it and we care about it so much, where it keeps you going, where if you're just doing it for, you know, money, or you're doing it just to say you own your own business and you want your side hustle, then it's not, you're not going to enjoy the rest of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was one of the biggest shocks to the system for both of us, you know.
We thought we'd be living the dream.
Yeah, you'd been working on it. I was like, that's the thing, that is the view that social media gives, is, oh, you have your own business and it's all dead fun and you can make your own hours.
And the Northern Quarter, we'll be drinking like, all the time with our pals, enjoying ourselves, going on these fancy holidays.
Yeah.
And with the days.
It's completely different and quite scary, really, when you sit down and think, especially in a time like this, oh right, okay, so it's my responsibility to make this money, it's my responsibility to make sure that people are paid, that this bill's paid, that, you know, we do our VAT return on time, that, you know, all this is submitted. And it's terrifying. There was times where I sat down and was like, shit, this isn't about just making your own hours and getting up when you want to and being able to control your own life. Because I think that's what is always the messaging online, is start your own business, do this, do that, because you'll have control over your own time and life. You don't, and it's probably going to be quite a long time before you get that control, or whatever it is that you're chasing from having your own business, because it isn't all just going to come overnight. And yeah, it's pretty scary. So I think, yeah, just, you know, there will be people who will put up that they're up till 3 a.m. still working. But you have to ask yourself, what are their reasons for business? And what are my reasons for this business? And if it's something that you're doing because you absolutely love it, then you won't feel the need to post on social media to say that you're up working. Because realistically, and learning this about the kind of times that we've had over the last 4 or 5 months, I haven't got time to care about putting something on my social media if I'm deep into, you know, trying to bloody figure out how to do a payroll because your bloody accountant's gone and you can't get your furlough and all of this. You know what I mean? And they're the kind of situations that we've been left in the last few months, where I've never bloody submitted a payroll to HMRC, but I had to bloody Google it at whatever time of night it was. But
you don't see that on Instagram. You don't see people, you know, obviously we talk about the story, like, you know, we've got no account and we're going to figure out the payroll, but that's because we're honest and we want to show people that's exactly the meaning behind Feel Good Club, is to show what it's all about, mm-hmm. and what the journey's about, where really It's terrifying.
And it'll help so many people, just you being open about it. And it's, again, that authenticity, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, we've not, and it's not just because of the pandemic, we've not seen family, or you've not seen your family all year, even though you could before this, because we've just been non-stop, and we have lost friends recently along the way, but if you're passionate and you know where you're going, hopefully your friends and family and the people around you who love you and can see what your vision is will be right there backing you. But it's not all rose petals, and it is hard. And
you've got so much support though behind you, even if it's not like constant there, you can see it, you know that you and your true friends will always be there to support you as well when it comes to it.
My mum on the Saturday comes and like bakes us a cheesecake, bless her. And do you know what I mean? Like, it's just the littlest things where just like especially you, Katie, like you've been such big, especially at the beginning of the business, you were such an influence to me. And I say at least every other week, don't I? What does Katie say? Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to want a piece of you. And you've got to make sure that you have big boundaries, that you stand your ground, that you know your purpose. You only do things that people care, like the people who care for you. I say that at least once a week, don't I? Yeah. I always go, what does Katie say?
Stop it.
No, I do, because that is something that sticks in my mind, because everybody does. And when, as soon as you get something, suddenly everybody comes out the woodworks and you're trying to please everybody, you just can't. You've got to say no. And that was my worst thing about owning a business, was saying no. Mm-hmm. Where now I have little Katie Lee in the back of my brain.
But what you said about having that pressure of paying people's wage and their lives and the fact that they've got to pay their mortgage or their rent and their food, and I felt that last year, because you've got however many people that you're responsible for, that you're leading through something that's probably the hardest thing, like you say, that we'll ever have to face in our careers, touch wood. Exactly. But having that responsibility on top of trying to navigate all these changes to your mental health, the fact that you're locked down, changes in how you work. On top of that, you've got all these other things to navigate as a leader, and a responsibility that you've got. For me, I have 137 people to make sure get paid every month. And I did the same as you. Like, I've disappeared a little bit from, like, I'm not as sociable as I was, just because part of me is exhausted at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And I just want to sit there and just have a bit of quiet time and just reflect and make sure everything's sorted. And it is harder, I think, to keep relationships going right now. But I know full well at the end of it that the important ones will always be there. It's hard. It is hard.
We literally turned to each other, didn't we, and was like, I'm sort of thankful that we've not been able to see our family and friends, because it makes us feel less guilty. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's less pressure on it because we can't see them anyway.
Yeah.
So it sounds ridiculous, but it was like, you know, if it was going through what we're going through now, and then we also had friends being like, oh, do you want to meet up on Sunday? It was like, oh, I feel awful saying no, because I feel like I'm just business. So it's kind of been a weird situation for us, where we're like, oh, we feel less guilty because we can't do it anyway.
Yeah,
got to find the positives in it. You've got like, that's like, you're getting all your foundation set while no one can do anything really. That's like quite a good thing, isn't it?
It's been the absolute hardest thing we've ever done, but the best thing that we've ever done as well, hasn't it?
I'm so proud of you. And what's the future? So what's your plan? I was going to say a five-year plan, but I don't really like those, because things can change so quickly, as we know.
We want to continue to create these spaces like the original Feel Good Club in Northern Quarter. So we are going to be branching out into different cities.
One's already confirmed.
One's confirmed. We're just waiting for the pandemic to be well and truly over with this one. We can't do it twice. We've got the one Feel Good Club which has opened in Manchester during the pandemic, but doing it twice, we would exhaust ourselves. Yeah. So we're waiting for the pandemic to be over before we do that. And then we want to expand kind of the products that we offer as well, don't we? So the clothing, we want to look into CBD oils. We've got a lot of different things in the pipeline, haven't we, which we want to get underway, but we don't want to get ahead of ourselves just yet.
It's amazing. I'm ever so proud of you. Like, everything that you've done in such a short amount of time, but everything that you've had thrown at you as well. It's been like every curveball you could ever imagine.
There was a point where I was like, this is getting ridiculous. Like,
come on, really? You, not another one.
Yeah, when the account, I was like, right, that is the last straw. Literally.
When I was sat trying to figure out how to do payroll, that was the that was like, really, guys, is this happening again?
But it's literally the other day I stood there and I said to Kira, I feel like something really, really good's coming because of how much has been thrown at us and we've got through it. And then, like, the past few days has just been mega, like, billboards around the city that I absolutely love. Be on your podcast, see, be, like, just, like, this arriving today. We got some paint to paint our office and, like, loads of little things just come back at you and you're like, oh, do you know what? It's going to be okay again.
Yeah.
Tell the listeners about the posters because they went a bit bonkers yesterday, didn't it?
So we do Manchester's Finest Positive News once a month.
Which we've been doing since the first lockdown, haven't we?
Yeah.
Every week we were on with them just spreading some positivity, things that people were doing good in Manchester.
From our living room. And then last month we started doing like a full production. Co-op have actually sponsored it and we now do it in the Feel Good Club coffee shop. And part of that, we do a random act of kindness. So this one, it was Blue Monday on Monday. So we decided that we wanted to do a campaign to spread some positivity offline onto the streets of Manchester. And we thought it would be like a few little posters around some little streets, like little side streets. And it ended up being like billboards outside Manchester Piccadilly train station and Shude Hill.
You had the massive the digital screen, didn't you?
Yeah, on the Axis building.
So they're actually up for 2 weeks. So if you need a little walk around on your daily exercise or a little pick-me-up, go and find them. Hopefully.
Yeah. We had a few people come in today as well, which was lovely, who were, they were coming to get a coffee before they did a little tour of all the billboards. So that was really, really nice. Mm-hmm. But we've already had people who didn't follow us message us to say that it's just helped them. They've picked up their day as they've been walking around, something that they needed to see. So just what we want to do, don't we? Just want to spread some, just if one of those posters can make, or billboards can make one person smile or can make them feel a bit less alone over the next couple of weeks, then that'll be amazing.
So that was up there. That was, you know, forget the coffee shop, forget the brand, forget the clothing, forget all that. For me, seeing that big screen with Feel Good Club on it in Manchester, where I've been born and bred, was like, okay, I've made it now, guys. I'm going to go and have a little nap.
Amazing. It was. It looked so good as well. You should leave like a little note on one of them and get people to come and find it.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Like a Disney Easter egg. So just to round the podcast off, you both know the name of the podcast. It's obviously called I Shouldn't Say This, But, because each episode I open up with honesty and talk about subjects that someone in my role as MD would usually avoid, such as anxiety, imposter syndrome, fear of failure, et cetera, et cetera. So would you mind, please, ending this podcast with an admission of something that you probably shouldn't say, whether it's about your struggles you faced during your career, a secret about lockdown experience, or what you would like to change about yourself? So I'm going to pass over to you. I shouldn't say this, but.
We shouldn't say this, but, because we are all about wellness and well-being, but we are absolutely shockingly bad at yoga to the point that I just don't know whether we should continue doing it.
But everyone else should.
Not as like a life thing that we need to stop it, but we're terrible at it and I think we should just stop
forever. Okay.
There you go.
Really bad one, but it just reminded me of us the other morning trying again.
And to be fair, the whole way through, I was like, I hate this. I don't even know why I tried to do it.
I mean, it has wonderful benefits and I'd recommend everybody doing it, but I've got the least bendy legs and so has Amy, and it's just terrible.
Well, thank you so much. I wish you all the best with everything you've got coming up, and I hope that from the bottom of my heart that things start getting easier for you and you can start to really enjoy it and reflect back on the amazing stuff you've done in this time, because I know it's hectic and you can't really stop and take stock of everything you've achieved. But when you do get a chance to, you're going to see what a difference you've made to so many people's lives, and I'm incredibly proud to call you friends. So I just want to say a massive thank you. I love Feel Good Club. I love the brand. I love what it stands for. And I know it's going to do great things. So thanks for coming on the podcast. I feel privileged.
Literally like a whole one big circle, because like you mean the world to us. And you've been there from day one. You've constantly had our back, constantly kicking us up the but to be like, come on, you can do this. And like, even like the first event that we ever did, you was our little coffee lady, do you remember, at the bar, mm-hmm. serving the coffees for us. Mm-hmm. So honestly, from the bottom of our hearts, well, thank you so much for having us.
Oh, thank you, ladies.